Wednesday edition, Outkick the Coverage podcast. It's a loaded one. We talk about the cancellation of the Big Ten and the Pac-12 seasons, and I tell you why I believe it's an abject failure on behalf of the commissioners and the university presidents. And I tell you that I hope the ACC, the SEC, and the Big 12 can stand strong. We talk with Petros Papadakis and also with Jeff Schwartz, two former Pac-12 athletes, about the decision of the Pac-12 and the Big Ten to cancel. And we talk about the fallout of our big Donald Trump interview. The president was on with us yesterday. Go give us 5 stars. Danny G will read some of your 5-star reviews this week. Thank you for subscribing to the podcast and making us well on track in August to have the biggest audience we have ever had. We are rolling. I thank all of you for your support, and we're going to have a lot of fun here. The Wednesday edition of the podcast begins now.
Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis, live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What a wild day. The last 24 hours for this program have been pretty flat out unbelievable. Ever since Donald Trump joined us in the final hour of the program yesterday, we were, if you watch Fox News or CNN or basically any media source out there, clips from our Donald Trump interview dominated everywhere all day in media circles, and the feedback has been flat out unbelievable in a positive way for everyone out there by and large who heard it. So if you are just waking up on the East Coast, or let's say just waking up on the West Coast, but you don't listen to the third hour of the program, we are going to play the Donald Trump interview that aired yesterday in the third hour of the program here in about 10 minutes on this program in the first hour. So the President of the United States came on yesterday at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific, live on the radio show, and we are going to allow you to hear that again. But we have got a lot to unpack going on in the world of sports, especially in college football, where the Big Ten and the Pac-12 both made the decision to cancel all fall sports, including, of course, college football. And while they are saying, oh, we're going to play in the spring, I don't believe that's going to happen at all. I think if you are a Pac-12 or you are a Big Ten fan, you will not see your favorite college football team play again until 2021, and I believe this is a fundamental failure of college athletics, of Kevin Warren, the commissioner of the Big Ten, and Larry Scott, the commissioner of the Pac-12, to not look at the data, to not make rational decisions, and instead to give in to fear porn. Now, I'm going to unpack their decision a little bit here in a moment, but first I want to give you a positive side of the story. Props to the Big 12, to the SEC, and to the ACC for so far staying steadfast and intending to play their fall college football seasons. The evidence out there is substantial that if you are going to have college kids on your campus, that there is no reason why, if you're going to have college kids on your campus in classrooms and dorms and cafeterias, everywhere that libraries, college kids go on campus, that you can't also play college football and other sports. In fact, and this is putting my lawyer hat, and we'll talk about this more throughout the program, a lot of people say, well, what about liability concerns? Those people who are saying that make no logical sense, because if you are concerned about liability, then your regular students, you have far more liability for them than you do for the athletes. Furthermore, there's a causation issue here that is fairly difficult to get past, which is most people can't tell you exactly where they got a virus from. So if you're on campus and then you're off campus, if you're going to a restaurant and then you're going to a classroom, or if you go to a bar, or if you go to a party and you're then playing football, it's going to be almost impossible to demonstrate causation, as in where you actually get sick. So if you're an athlete, I just don't buy into the idea that somehow colleges are under greater risk from college athletics when there are sports involved than there would be from regular on-campus living. I think this is an example of fear porn manifesting itself, of giving in to the worst impulses of society, which is to focus entirely on the negative. And this is the biggest issue that I have with many decisions being made in society today. It's not brave to cancel things. This is important. It's the exact opposite of bravery to say, oh, we can't do anything. Let's curl up in the fetal position and just go live in our houses until there is a vaccine. Bravery is about courageous action most often in the face of risk or danger. You are giving up some form of safety most of the time when you behave in a brave fashion. To me, bravery is defined as risking either your life or your freedom in some way because you believe it is the right decision to make. We have dumbed down and invalidated in many ways the word brave by bending at the altar of safetyism and starting to create this idea that it's brave to cancel things. That's the exact opposite of bravery. We are mangling the language when we are saying, oh, it's so brave of the Big Ten and the Pac-12 to decide to cancel their college football seasons. There's no way they could ever figure out a way to play college football. No, no, no. Canceling college football, canceling sports is the exact opposite of bravery. It is giving in to fear. It is curling up into the fetal position. It is the exact opposite of everything that America stands for. The foundation of this country, the decision to go west and continue to try to make things better. Cancel culture is the exact opposite of everything that has made America the greatest country in the history of the world. And what the Pac-12 did and what the Big Ten did in contravention to all of the desires and efforts of their athletes is, I think, a total and unmitigated disaster for those conferences. I hope that the ACC and the SEC and the Big 12 are going to be strong enough to actually hold out till at least Labor Day to see what the environment actually looks like as the coronavirus cases are declining in substantial numbers all over the South, which is where the Big 12 and the SEC and the ACC are very primarily located. The numbers are plummeting across the South, as you heard from Governor Ron DeSantis running through with us on Monday. By the way, tomorrow, we are going to have the governor of Texas on with us to talk about the latest in the state of Texas, and in particular, what he believes, Governor Abbott does, about playing college football in his state. We're actually talking with him at 10 o'clock Central, 11 a.m. Eastern, for this show. That was when he could come on. So we're going to tape that interview with him, but I think that's going to be really significant what he says about the Big 12 and the SEC playing football, since the Big 12 is primarily located in the state of Texas, and certainly Texas A&M is as well. But shame on the Big Ten. Shame on the Pac-12. It is indefensible.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick, the coverage with Clay Travis, weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
We are awaiting a phone call from the President of the United States. I'm not going to lie to you and claim that I'm not incredibly nervous about our phone system and everything that could potentially go awry, including me giving the wrong phone number, Danny G actually hanging up on the White House, all of these things that that certainly have been in the back of my mind for a while. But right now, Danny G, no phone call from the White House yet, right?
No.
We are scheduled, for those of you waking up right now that are just starting off your morning, we are scheduled to be joined by the President of the United States right here off the top.
Phone is ringing. I'm going to pick it up.
All right, the phone is ringing. Danny G is picking up the phone, which we hope is the President of the United States, and he will shortly be with us. And we're going to be talking about a lot of different things relating to the world of sports, but in particular, college football and the question of whether or not college football will be played this year, whether it's the Big Ten, the Pac-12, the SEC, the ACC, or the Big 12. The president has endorsed the players' movement that has been brought to bear with a lot of different players out there. And we are joined now by the President of the United States, Donald Trump. Mr. President, thanks for starting your morning with us. We're excited to have you.
Well, thank you very much, Clay. It's an honor. You have a great show.
Well, I appreciate that. Now, I know you're a longtime sports fan, so there's a lot of things I want to get into with you. But I want to start, you've been a big supporter of Tom Brady for a very long time. What were your thoughts when he decided to move to Tampa Bay, and what do you think he's going to be capable of down there? Will you be rooting for him?
Well, I think he's going to do a great job. You know, he's a winner. He knows how to win. That's a big thing. And he's just been a great quarterback with a great coach. It's a great combination and a great owner in Bob Kraft, frankly. And he probably wanted a change. He wanted a change. And I think, you know, he had plenty of teams to go to. And he picked one with, from what I understand, a good offensive line and very good receivers. He looked at that closely. I think he probably had other choices where they had players. I think his biggest thing is he wants to win. And from what I know, and I know the ownership of the team, they'll do whatever they have to because they're fantastic people, the owners of the team that Tom's on now. And I think he's going to do well in Tampa Bay. I think he'll do well. I think he'll – I don't know why it would be a surprise, but perhaps it will be. But I think he's going to surprise a lot of people. I think he's going to do great.
We're talking to the President of the United States, Donald Trump. Mr. President, what do you hear about the NFL? I know there's been a lot of talk. You mentioned that you talked to several different owners, Bob Kraft in particular. How confident are you that come September 10th with the scheduled opener between the Texans and the Chiefs that the NFL will be underway and everybody out there who's an NFL fan will be able to watch?
Well, they want to open, and they want to open badly, and they've been working with government. I would say this, if they don't stand for the national anthem, I hope they don't open. But other than that, I'd love to see them open, and we're doing everything possible for getting them open. They can protest in other ways. They shouldn't protest our flag or our country.
But, have you talked with owners about your hope that they're going to stand for the national anthem, the players?
They know my feelings very well. They've been expressed. I think it's been horrible for basketball. Look at the basketball ratings. They're down. They're down to very low numbers, very, very low numbers. People are angry about it. They don't realize that they don't want – they have enough politics with guys like me. They don't need more as they're driving down, going up for the shot. You know, they don't need it. And there was a nastiness about the NBA the way it was done, too. So I think that the NBA is in trouble. I think it's in big trouble, bigger trouble than they understand. And frankly, ice hockey, which is doing very well, they didn't do that. They respected the mores. They respected what they're supposed to be doing. And they're actually doing very well, as I understand it. I don't have much time to be watching this stuff, just so you understand. It's just what I'm reading and what I'm seeing. But ice hockey was with respect. I did not like what baseball did, even a little bit. And again, you have to stand for your flag, and you have to respect your flag and your country. You're making millions of dollars a year to be playing a sport you'd be playing anyway. If you didn't make, they'd be playing it on the weekends. And they have to respect their country. And if they don't, frankly, if the NFL didn't open, I'd be very happy. If they don't stand for the flag, and stand strongly. I would be very happy if they didn't open without that. And with that being said, I'd love to see them open.
We're talking to Donald Trump, the president of the United States. And President Trump, when you look at the NBA, and you just referenced the NBA and all of the political statements that they're making, it seems like every time you send a tweet, a executive, a coach, a player, somebody will come out and immediately fire back at you. But yet the NBA is taking billions of dollars from China. There are all sorts of human rights violations going on in China right now. And none of the players and none of the coaches will say a word about that. Does it feel hypocritical that they will rip the United States, they won't stand for the anthem, they'll rip you as the president, but they won't say a negative word about China at all?
Well, I haven't noticed them sending things back at me, but I will say that, you know, I wouldn't be that surprised. Some are very nasty, very, very nasty, and frankly, very dumb. But I haven't noticed that. But I will say this, the way they catered to China, the way they bowed to China, it's a disgrace, frankly. And they make a lot more money here than they do from China. But we have a system that allows you to disrespect your system, and that's too bad for them. Too bad for them. They don't appreciate what they have here. But what they did with China and what China did to us with the China virus and the rest of the world, by the way, you know, I mean, the whole rest of the world, they stopped it from going in and spreading in China, but they didn't stop it from spreading in the U.S. and in other parts of the world, including Europe, but other parts in the world, 188 countries. So I watched that whole thing with the general manager of the team. Was it Houston?
Yeah, Daryl Morey, the general manager, who said that he wanted to free Hong Kong. And speaking of Hong Kong, right now you've got, I see the front page of the Wall Street Journal, the China went in and arrested a ton of pro-democracy media members, including Jimmy Lai, I believe, who is one of the most active participants in all of the Hong Kong democracy movement. For people out there who aren't paying attention, why should Americans care about what China's doing in Hong Kong and maybe the threats to Taiwan as well?
Well, look, for years, Hong Kong was making a lot of money that we could have been making in the New York Stock Exchange and our great exchanges. You know, we have the biggest exchanges. We have the great dollar, which I've made stronger, much stronger than it used to be. I hope people recognize that in the world of sports. Our country is in good shape, and we're coming back so strong. It's incredible when you look at the numbers that we're producing and putting up. We're coming back very strong. And we save millions and millions of lives by closing down and restarting. But I will say that with Hong Kong, we gave tremendous incentives and cost us a fortune to keep Hong Kong viable and going. And now what we've done, I've ended everything. I've ended all of that. There is no incentive whatsoever. We're not sending money through incentives back to Hong Kong. We're going to make a lot more money because they're not going to be competitive. It won't be a competitive market. Can't be with the government running it. So they're going to have a different kind of a deal, and we're not participating from the standpoint of we're not spending, you know, billions of dollars on making life comfortable with them for freedom. And that was okay. We'd do that if they were free, but they're not free. You know, it's a part. It's a part when you look, I mean, take a look at a map, it's attached to China, you know, so it's a little bit tough from certain standpoints, but we will do very well by not having a good competitor. I guess it'll be a competitor, but on a much smaller scale.
I know you have a good relationship with Chairman Xi over in China, but you mentioned the China virus, the virus that is obviously swept around the nation. You mentioned Hong Kong and the challenge to democracy there. Do you feel a bit disappointed in your friend Chairman Xi and how he has responded with China, with the virus, and also with Hong Kong?
Well, I used to have a very good relationship with him. We made a trade deal. It was a great deal for us. You know, look, China's ripped off our country for 30 years like nobody's ever done anything like what they've done. And we had a bunch of people sitting in the office that I'm in now that allowed it to happen. We were losing $500 billion a year in trade with China. The deficit was massive, probably averaged $200 or $300 billion over many years. We helped rebuild China. Look, if it wasn't for us, they wouldn't have China as you know it today. We gave so much money so stupidly how these people allowed it to happen. And I came in and I charged them 25% tariffs and even more than that. And but I had a great relationship with President Xi. I like him, but I don't feel the same way now. You know, every once in a while you will say, and you've had it very well. And Clay, I understand, I know you, indirectly I know you, and you have your likes and dislikes very strongly, so do I. But I didn't like what took place. This is not trade, this is a thousand times a trade deal, what happened with all of the death and all of the, you know, world. I mean, the world had a shutdown. It's a disgrace what happened. You look at some of these countries in Europe, which is devastated. Look at what's going on in Africa with this horrible disease. So, you know, I certainly feel differently. I had a very, very good relationship, and I haven't spoken to him in a long time. We have a much different relationship with China now than we did for years, where they ripped us off. And then I stopped that. They were having the worst year they had in 67 years. Because I charged them tariffs and we were making a lot of money. I was giving a lot of money to farmers. They were targeted. They were targeting farmers. I gave $28 billion. That was the amount. And it came all out of China. And the farmers are doing great because of it. Otherwise, they would have been all out of business. But, you know, I treated them as you would do it. But I still had a good relationship. But once the plague came in from China, I call it the plague. But once the plague came in from China, the relationship changed, no question about it. It would be hard to believe that it wouldn't change.
We're talking to the President of the United States, Donald Trump. Mr. President, much less serious in terms of the plague, although the virus is impacting many different parts of sports in America, including potentially college football. I know you're a big college football fan. You went to the LSU-Alabama game this past year, Joe Burrow against Tua Tagovailoa, great game. You went to the national title game where Clemson played against LSU. Why is it important for college football to be played, and what do you think you can do to help that happen?
Well, first of all, the people in that sport, it's just like incredible people. And, you know, like some of the coaches, like Nick Saban and Coach O. How about Coach O?
He's amazing.
He's central casting, right? You're doing
yes.
a football movie, you got to pick him as your coach, right? And,
yes.
And put him in the movie. And Lou Holtz is just a fantastic guy, a friend of mine. He's been a supporter from the beginning. And, you know, just so many others. They're just great people. And they want to play football. And they know better than anyone else. The other thing is, and somebody was explaining, I had actually one of the great doctors. He said, these people are so powerful and so strong, and not lots of body fat, although you could take a couple of offensive linemen perhaps and dispute that, but not a lot of body fat, maybe none in some cases, you know, and they're very healthy people. They, you know, people don't realize it's a tiny percentage of people that get sick, and they're old. It just attacks old people, especially old people with bad heart, diabetes, or some kind of a physical problem, a weight problem. Isn't it wonderful that I'm of a perfect physical specimen? It's so great.
Yeah, you're 3% body fat, right?
That's right. I was, 0%. Didn't I have 0%? Somebody said I had 0% body fat. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
But no, but this attacks older people, very viciously, by the way. It can be if it's the wrong person. But, you know, these football players are very young, strong people, and physically. I mean, they're physically in extraordinary shape. So they're not going to have a problem. You're not going to see people, you know, could it happen? But I doubt it. You're not going to see people dying. And many people get it, and they have, like, kids, they get it. They have the sniffles. Young kids, almost none have a serious problem with it. I mean, literally, you look, I think I said the state of California, almost nobody that's young had a problem with, meaning a serious problem with this disease. I mean, they get better very quickly if they get it at all. So I think football's making a tragic mistake. And you know, it's interesting, when it opens, when I went to that game, it was incredible. I went to a couple of them, and I never really did the big-time college football. I went to an Ivy League school. It wasn't quite the same. But when I went to Alabama and I went to LSU, and, you know, these stadiums are massive. You have no idea about that. It's much bigger crowds than the NFL. You know, in the NFL, you have 60. And here we had, I think, 115,000 people. and you go to see these games, and it's brilliant football. It's great football. It's the atmosphere. There's nothing like it. And you can't have empty seats. You know, if I had five empty seats, for instance, they said when I do a rally, sir, the reason I won't do them because you can't have one seat and then seven around that seat, sir, have to be empty. Oh, that'll look great. You know, you have one person and everything's fake empty around them. You can't do that. And I don't think, I'm not sure that college football can do it, but we'll have to see. You know, some sports I see. I think golf has not been hurt visually by, in fact, I think golf looks more beautiful if you want to know the truth. You know, instead of a lot of people, it'll, you know, the cheering's good and certainly I guess the income is good and all, but golf works. You know what works is UFC works very well. UFC, I watched that the other night, and they light up the stage, they light up the cage, and it's you know, really bright. They darken the arena, maybe put a little silk around it, who knows, but that works. And other sports don't work. Basketball's not working. I think basketball's not working because of the way they treated our flag and our anthem, if you want to know the truth. But it doesn't seem to have anything. I looked at it, and I couldn't watch it. And baseball, I haven't made a ruling on that yet in terms of my own. I haven't had much of a chance to watch it. But some sports are working okay, and some sports aren't. But I thought golf looked really good for the PGA. I didn't miss the fans, and I think that probably UFC was a very good one. I am not impressed. Somebody told me hockey works okay. And those sports are meant more for fans. I really believe that. I think they're meant more for fans. I think basketball is going to need its fans back from what I'm seeing. It looks very dull.
I know you're ready for the economy to be back rolling, and sports are a big part of that, and schools opening are also a big part of that.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you about both, but I also wonder, do you ever think to yourself, I should play a trick on the media and say the exact opposite of what I actually believe so they'll support it?
So
because
funny.
It seems like every time you come out, like you say schools should open, and the media immediately says, oh, schools can't open. But if you had said, hey, we can't open schools, I feel like the media would have said, oh, we got to open schools. The president's crazy. You ever think about using that,
so
playing a mind
that
trick
you
on them?
That, because I talk about it all the time. Nobody else does. I say, look, I could have had the wall built very easy. You know, we're building a wall, but it was getting it like was pulling teeth. And the Democrats opposed, et cetera, like, you know, you watch that, and now it's being built. We're up to 277 miles. It'll be done by the end of the year, a little bit after the end of the year. It's incredible the impact it's had. Anyway, if I would have said, I don't want a wall, they would have given it to immediately. If I, this hydroxychloroquine, a lot of doctors swear by it. By my saying, it's good. I took it for 2 weeks. You know, there was a little outbreak around Washington, and I said, let me have something. And I took it for 2 weeks, and it was fine. You know, it was great. I didn't have it. I didn't get it. And I had no problem whatsoever with it. You know, it's been around for a long time. It's a malaria pill, actually, and lupus, and it causes no problem. But as soon as I came out with it, they said, oh, it doesn't work. And they went crazy. They still are on Twitter. It's number one all the time, which is phony. It's number one all the time in trending hydroxy, you know, negative hydroxy stuff. If I would have said, I don't believe in hydroxychloroquine, it's terrible, with zinc and with, you know, the Z-Pak, zithromycin. If I would have said, I don't believe in it, it doesn't work, it would be the hottest thing going right now. I say it all the time. We could say it about a lot of different things. Even religion. I held a Bible in front of a church that the agitators and anarchists, you know, they call them protesters, they tried to burn down a church. And I held the Bible up in front of the church, and they said it was a terrible thing I did. So I said, I even affect religion negatively, okay? I hold the Bible in front of a church that they tried to burn down the day before. And they say, isn't he a terrible human being? And I said, I've affected religion, hydroxy, and just about anything else. Maybe even your show after today. That'll be the end. You've got these great ratings going, I see, Clay, and you have a hell of a show. Maybe I will have destroyed your show, but you know the end result? Our country now is so strong. Our military has been rebuilt. Our taxes have been cut way back, and regulations, and what I've done for the vets, nobody's ever done. Nobody's ever even come close to doing. And, you know, so many other things. We've done more than anybody, including even Space Force, right? Space Force. So we've done a lot, but we have to fight hard. Probably I have to fight harder than a lot of other people.
Last question for you, because I know you got a ton of things to go. There's talk that Joe Biden's going to announce his vice president either today or tomorrow. It seems like it's dragged on for some time. Who do you think he's going to pick? Who should he pick? I know you like playing the political game. You weren't a politician for a long time. If you were sitting back on your couch watching television and following this election, what do you think he's going to do? What do you think he should do?
Well, I think that I would be inclined to go a different route than what he's done, you know, doing it the way he, first of all, he roped himself into, you know, a certain group of people, which
he said he
fine.
Had to pick a woman.
He said that, and, you know, some people would say that men are insulted by that, and some people would say it's fine. I don't know. I will say this. People don't vote for the vice. You know, this is history. This isn't necessarily me. This is history because we have a great vice president. Mike Pence has been incredible, actually. He's been a great vice president and done a really, really good job in everything I've given him. But people don't vote for the vice president. They really don't. They don't vote for the vice president. Like, you can pick George Washington to be your vice president. Let's pick up Abraham Lincoln coming back from the dead. They just don't seem to vote for the vice president. Now, in this case, you know, because Joe's got some things going on. Let's not kid ourselves, unless you, I don't know where your politics are. But Joe's got some pretty big things going on. So, you know, this is going to be a very, very important pick. And it'll be interesting to see who he chooses. I'm interested to see also. In the end, I don't think it's going to matter. Joe's going to have to stand at his own 2 feet. And we're doing very well. Our poll numbers have really come up. You know, we were unbeatable. And then we got hit by the China virus. And obviously we got hit hard. And that affects a politician. You know, look all over the world. When you get hit, it affects a politician. So we fought and we've done a really good job with that and every other thing. And now the economy's come back so strong and my poll numbers are good. They're getting very good. I think they're going to go even much higher. People appreciate what we're doing. So I don't know who he's going to pick. In theory, it doesn't matter much, but maybe with him, it probably matters much more than it normally does for the obvious reason.
I know I said last question, I'm going to hit you with a sports question on your way out. The number one debate among sports fans for the last 10 years probably has been who is better as a basketball player, Michael Jordan or LeBron James? Which do you think, no doubt in your mind?
Well, I've seen them both. Michael Jordan is, plus he wasn't political, so people like him better.
That is a perfect answer. Donald Trump, President Trump, I appreciate you coming on. You're happy to have welcome to come on anytime to talk sports with us. Thank you for the time this morning, sir, and good luck the rest of your term and maybe a next one too.
Thank you very much. Great. Thank you.
That was Donald Trump. Obviously, Joe Biden has now made his vice presidential pick, and it is Kamala Harris. And we'll talk about the Donald Trump interview and more. A couple of things we want to unpack, including CNN and ESPN both being so triggered they wouldn't use my name or even OutKick in their reporting on that interview, which is really, really funny.
Whatever, host.
Yeah, whatever, host. CNN referred to me as host, despite the fact they were using audio. And despite the fact that Fox Sports Radio specifically said, because they knew it was going to happen, to both CNN and ESPN, you can use the audio.
That's weak, dude.
But you have to use Clay Travis's name and you have to cite OutKick. You can't just say Fox Sports Radio. They both agreed, CNN and ESPN, to those parameters, and then they lied and didn't do it in their reporting. I know this shouldn't come as a surprise, but CNN and ESPN are both lying liars. Do you know how you know they're lying? Because they're opening their mouths. It is pathetic.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Let's unpack a little bit. We just played the Donald Trump interview from yesterday again. Can you believe, Danny G, that CNN and ESPN both would agree to the terms that in order to play the audio or quote it or anything else, you have to cite Clay Travis and OutKick the coverage, which is, let's be honest, saying where something comes from is the very essence of basic journalism if you are going to use somebody's content. and instead they cited at best Fox Sports Radio. CNN didn't even cite Fox Sports Radio. They cited Fox Radio, which doesn't even exist.
Yeah. Well, and I've told you in the past that when I've gone to book somebody, like that lady the one time, the expert from the college in Washington where we wanted...
The Murder Hornets?
Yes, the Murder Hornet lady. And she was like, is this Fox Radio? And I said, no, Fox Sports Radio. So I was laughing when I saw that title on CNN. But yeah, the subtitle on the screen, host... Donald Trump.
I got the audio on that. They didn't just put me up as host and refuse to put my name on the screen. They played my voice on Don Lemon's show last night and refused to acknowledge who I was.
Well, I would take it as a huge sign of respect and the fact that the show is doing so well that in their minds, they don't want to contribute even more to the wealth of the program.
I mean, it is just, I know I shouldn't be surprised by how petty CNN and ESPN are, but it is so utterly pathetic.
Yeah, I mean, you've had your own issues with ESPN at times, but you still say the personalities' names.
Of course.
You cite them. We give them credit whenever we play audio or we talk about something they've tweeted or reported. So they need to do the same. But obviously,
that's weak, dude.
Journalism is not their strong suit.
I mean, can you, Eddie, let's go to Eddie, who has to do updates all day long. First of all, they flat out lied. They took our audio and agreed to the terms Don Martin and Scott Shapiro put out, which are, that's fine. You want to take our audio. You want to take the work that we do on this show. You have to cite Clay Travis and Outkick the Coverage as a part of doing so. They agreed to that and then used it without actually following through on their agreement.
Yeah, I didn't know that until you mentioned that.
Because we knew what they were going to do, right? Because I said to those guys, I was like, and they knew it too. I was like, you know that they're going to try to avoid giving me credit at all because they are triggered by my success at CNN and ESPN, and they're going to try to avoid doing it. They're like, we totally know that, which is why we said when they made their request, if you want to use our audio, all we ask is that you say, courtesy of Clay Travis, Outkick the Coverage.
I mean, in a way, I'm kind of glad they did it because we can expose them for what they really are, as petty, like you said, and pretty unprofessional. I mean, that's just a basic thing that everyone does. It's not, you know, anything. We were not asking them to do anything out of the ordinary at all.
Yeah, Roberto, what do you think about it?
Yeah, I just found that right now earlier from Danny G, man. That's petty, dude. Like, come on, man. Like, when I read an article and I see, like, somebody says, oh, so-and-so had the story first, like, come on, man. That's what you do. Like, that's the number one thing you do. For them not to mention your name or Outkick, it's petty, dude. It's ridiculous.
It's because they're triggered by all of our success.
For you being sick, to be triggered because somebody's also successful is kind of weak, too, dude. Like, I don't know. So weak, man.
Yeah, what about you, Dub?
I mean, I'm not really surprised, but this is like a whole different level because it's the president. It'd be one thing if you were reporting like a trade or a signing that the Titans made or something like that, and they didn't cite you. But yeah, for them to they said your name was host and you work for Fox Radio. So I'm thinking when you sign off this hour, you got to say, I am host. This is Fox Radio.
We're going to put the video up on Outkick for people out there who haven't seen it from Don Lemon's show. Because it looks even more ridiculous if you watch the video. Like, somebody was so desperate not to see my name on CNN that they typed in a host, and they were so desperate not to credit Fox Sports Radio or Outkick or me that they somehow credited Fox Radio, which doesn't even exist. Like, it's not even a business.
Well, after the First Amendment and Boobs interview, didn't they say they were banning you?
Yeah, I'm banned.
So I guess your name is even banned.
But they played audio of my voice.
But doesn't that violate the agreement that they had, though?
Yeah, like, it should. I mean, I would ask Don Martin and Scott Shapiro to look into that. I mean, when we specifically say, if you want to use anything from our audio, we're simple. Just cite Clay Travis and Outkick as the source. And CNN and ESPN both agreed to do that, lied, and then refuse to do it while using our content on their television networks. Pretty unbelievable, even for those lying, untrustworthy, deceitful media outlets. Pretty crazy.